It's your Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, June 9th. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that's just riding the wave of these trade rumors, Russ.
Oh, it's a big wave, man.
Lots to talk about on that front. Plus, we will be previewing the Locked On NHL mock draft all on today's show.
Your Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there and happy Friday. Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. I am Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. I'm here as always with Russ Cohen, who is on Twitter at Sportsology. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. You can subscribe or follow us for free over on YouTube or on the SiriusXM app. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you will get our latest episode as soon as it's available here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Russ, those trade winds are a-blowing, much like the winds from the Canadian wildfires that are covering us in smoke these last several days.
Yeah.
So after the Provorov trade, getting Cal Peterson as part of the return, that, of course, made the Carter Hart trade rumors heat up a little bit. We talked about it as, you know, increasing the chances of that trade happening. And Elliot Friedman says on his show to maybe cool off those conversations as of now. And he seemed to indicate that, you know, they're still listening on anyone, but that trading Hart is no longer a top priority. Is this just, you know, messaging relationships out there, or what is really going on? Do you
think? No, I think that's coming from the club. I think Danny Briere put the word out that the word's out. Let's see what you got. Let's see what you could offer me for Carter Hart right now. And he didn't get anything that would do it. So I think rather than having everybody continue to talk about it and possibly upset Carter Hart, he was like, all right, let's shut the spigot on this because it's probably not happening.
Right. And the issue with trading Carter Hart is getting the right return for him. And I'm not sure they can do that right now. Is where my doubts are, is that you look at what Carter Hart is and could be, especially on the right team, and you know where he is and his contract status with having one more year on his deal. I just think it would be very difficult to get the kind of return that I think the Flyers would demand in this market, and maybe that's just what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it there's this hope. The hope is, hey, we're going to get like two first-round picks and a prospect. And nobody was going to do that. So then it's like, well, let's talk about swapping in the draft. So, you know, there's this whole San Jose thing. Let's swap the draft pick and, you know, we'll give you'll give us something else. And they're probably like, no. Because it's like, in the end, what really hurts those kinds of trades is that Carter Hart's only got 2 years left. And after that, he's probably going to go sign with the Edmonton Oilers or the Calgary Flames. And I think teams probably know that. So the odds of him extending with those teams, not good. So right. That mitigates the value a bit. And that's why you're not getting this super duper return. Not because of his, you know, ability.
Yeah, I think so too. To me, I think they should be shopping Felix Sandstrom. But I know he's more of a guy that you would trade, you know, as part of a bigger package or at the draft in one of those deals. But to me, you at least start laying the groundwork for trading him.
Yeah, I think the vibe on Felix Sandstrom from their perspective is they are trying to just keep me Lehigh all year. Like, that's the plan.
Yeah.
You're not going to deviate from that.
That is definitely a possibility as well. The other thing that Elliot Friedman brought up was that Tony DeAngelo is the hot item on the Flyers trade block right now. And obviously it would do all of us good to get rid of Tony DeAngelo on this team as an atrocious defenseman right now. There's just nowhere to put him in the lineup really that works. And to have to use a defenseman spot in the lineup just for some power play time just makes no sense, right?
Right. I mean, although teams have done that with some players, Gustafsson comes to mind, where you use them just on the power play, and if you have to throw them out on a few 5-on-5 shifts, you do it. But that's on a winning team that's got a great defense. You don't do that on a developing team. So, yeah, you try and get rid of them. And the problem is, even if you're going to eat $2 million of his salary, the rest still exists that you talked about. That's the problem. And so
yeah,
I don't know if you're going to get a taker for that. Like in the past, you might have, just to have a team hit the cap floor. But I don't know if that's happening this time.
Yeah, I have my doubts there. But, you know, God bless Danny Briere for trying.
Yeah, you give the marks for trying, because that's what he has to do. He has to, that's his job, is to look at everything. Again, I don't want to doubt what Chuck Fletcher did. Like, he said he was doing that. I think he was. But did he maybe take the word no too easily? Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he got frustrated with that. Instead of saying, but what about, maybe this, I'll call you back the next day, you know, that kind of stuff. You come up with something else. Like, I think there's a difference. There's more energy there right now.
Yeah, I think so too. So I would not be surprised if they work out a deal for him. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I think it just depends if they hit the right deal at the right time with the right team.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Tyson Forster was named to the AHL Top Prospects team. And this is a new thing that the AHL is doing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, I think. So they look at skaters who are 22 or younger, and they play a certain amount of games in the AHL and don't play in the NHL very much that season. So it really is truly an AHL level award, but it looks like guys that are likely going to make it to the NHL at some point. And Tyson Forster is in some really good company in this lineup here with David Yerichek, Simon Nemec, Jesper Wallstedt is the goalie on here, Lucas Reichel, and like really like top end players here. And yep. So I think the fact that he got that recognition at the AHL level this season, and given, you know, the kind of experience he got at the NHL level, I think this, you know, it's another just notch to say, yeah, I think we've got something good with this kid.
It's kind of like when you're named an All-American, they won't have a game, but at least, you know, you've been named to the roster. And that's good. That's a nice thing to have on his record. EP Ringside will now have to make a new category to put that on there for the prospects. I hope they know that.
The coders are furiously coding.
Yep, because it's something new now, because, you know, they have all that listing at the end.
They do.
That's nice, but that's nice. That's something that, you know, I think is really just, and it's earned, and that's great. It's great for him.
Some baffling news out of the sports media draft coverage land. Sportsnet announced yesterday that Chuck Fletcher will be part of their draft day coverage, which, wow, I could not think of a less exciting person just from a media and presentation perspective alone, let alone his draft experience and the kind of drafteries, like the kind of insight that he would bring to this broadcast. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Like, we've interviewed Chuck, and he will definitely speak and give you answers. Like, I don't know. If you're going to start asking him just softball questions, then fine, you'll get softball answers. But, you know, there's things that people would want to ask Chuck that didn't want to do it in the wrong setting, and they're not going to do that. Like, we know they're not going to do that. So really what he's being used for is, hey, you're a former GM. What's it like to get this phone call? Or what's it like when this happens? What's it like? And again, great. I'm sure there'll be some reporter somewhere watching so he could give an accounting and write a Flyers article about it based on his answers. And, you know, that's fine. And so that's, you know, there's some ratings involved with that, I guess.
Yeah, it's I think it'll be funny. Unfortunately, I don't know if I'll be able to watch it in the States if there's an international stream available. But I'm looking forward to reports from our Canadian friends on how Chuck Fletcher does on that broadcast. And just one quick thing before we take a break and switch over to talking about the mock draft. One of our mailbag questions from earlier this week was asking about potential free agent signings. Andreas Athanasiou was one of the options presented, and he has signed with the Blackhawks to a two-year deal with a $4.25 million cap hit, which is almost double of what I would pay for him.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a time where I thought he had some good promise, and he has good speed. He doesn't finish well. He doesn't play defense. But the Blackhawks are one of those teams, right? They're just desperate for offense. Maybe they put him with Bedard because he has speed and he can keep up the pace. Okay. You know, it's a veteran to work with him, but I wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, we are going to preview the Locked On NHL mock draft coming up next.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. I look better and feel great wearing Bird Dogs shorts and pants. They're stretchy fabric, makes me look great, and they're comfier than my other shorts and pants. I've recently done some traveling, and I wore them in Vegas in 99-degree heat. I wore them on a couple of long plane flights. They really did pass the test. Their cloud knit fabric looks just like khaki, but stretches, so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Plus, Bird Dogs use anti-sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL and enter promo code LockedOnNHL for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/LockedOnNHL for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You'll keep up to date with all the Flyers news and our episodes. You can ask us mailbag questions. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. Next week, everydayers can look forward to a recap of the NHL Combine, which Russ will be attending. So looking forward to that report as well as more deep dives into what the Flyers could do with that 22nd overall pick that we've now acquired. So one of the things that we do here at the Locked On NHL channel is a mock draft every year, and it gets more formalized. And I think it's pretty cool what we do amongst all the hosts in the Locked On Podcast Network NHL group here. So basically what's going to happen a week from Monday, you're going to get little 1-minute videos from the hosts of each show, including ours, with our picks at the different points in the first round of the draft. And I had to do a last minute switcheroo because of the Flyers acquiring the 22nd overall pick. And I'm very pleased with my insistence that we redo that pick because it turned out to be a lot of fun. But we won't tell you what it is until it actually comes out. We will, of course, do a bigger deep dive on our show than those 1-minute videos on the whys and the hows and what our logic was in picking those particular players. But I want to talk a little bit about the approach that we're taking here, because I think it's important to set the scene here, because, you know, obviously we think we're smart and make good picks. And Russ is obviously one of the top prospect experts out there with, you know, the credentials to prove it. And so we feel like we know what we're doing here. I want to talk about our approach in, you know, asking the question, how are we making these picks? Is it what we would do or is it what the Flyers would do? So Russ, why don't you talk about a little bit about how we came to that conclusion?
Yeah, we decided it would be what the Flyers would do, because like when you're doing a mock draft, you are trying to think like that GM of that team and what they might do. I don't grade my mock drafts because you have two missed picks and you can basically rip up the whole mock draft. Or if somebody trades up, somebody trades down, half of your mock draft is done. So it's an entertainment thing. And so, but when we do it on the show, we think we can get pretty close to who might be on the board and what they're doing. So that's what we're guessing at.
Yeah, and I think it was just important for us to get as realistic as possible. And, you know, there have been, especially in the past, we've talked about, obviously, the Cole Caulfield pick with the Flyers that they did not make. And that would have been obvious to us, and it would have been obvious to us the two times Chuck Fletcher had the opportunity to make that pick, and he did not. Last year, it was obvious to us that David Yurecek was the right pick to make. He did not, but we knew that Cutter Gauthier was an option, and we were happy to talk about it when he made that pick. But that's why there's that difference there, right? And so we just want to make it clear that when you see our picks, that's what we think the Flyers would do in that situation. It's not what we would do. So come after us for that reason.
Right. And also, it's in that situation, meaning what did the other Locked On host leave us?
Yes. Yep.
See, that's the whole thing. It may not work out like that in real life, but we have to go with what they left us. And based on what they left us, now I have to see who I'm taking.
Yeah. And so there could be a scenario where a guy that you are pretty sure in the real world will be available, you can't pick because somebody above you took them, you know, and maybe made a stretch pick there because it's somebody that they were interested in on another show. And, you know, it could also happen where a guy just doesn't get picked for a while, that it's confounding as to why other hosts were not focused on them. But maybe they just, in all of their draft prep that they've been doing on their shows, have keyed in on a particular guy. And so somebody, you know, gets missed in the shuffle and somebody else can benefit from that. And so I think there could be some surprises in the overall mock draft when it comes out.
Oh, there'll be some surprises.
Yeah, I think there will be. We obviously don't know all of those picks yet, no. But we know who, at least who we picked at 7. So we will be able to share our logic there. Now, in terms of doing a mock draft, picking for everyone, so creating your own mock draft versus just repping a team, like, how do you approach that, Russ?
Yeah, so I did one so far on Full Press Hockey, and now we'll be doing one live on SiriusXM against Shane Malloy, and he's already trash-talked me today, so I fully plan to win that battle, or at least try to win. based on the fact that he put down the put down the gauntlet. But what I try and do is, again, I'll listen to what's out there, because sometimes there's some good tidbits out there, like, hey, this team is doing this with that guy, and they talk to him, and he likes that, and this coach is there, and he knows that coach. You try and connect the dots as much as you can. But then you also have to have a gut feeling about what that organization might need and what that player might do for them, or two or three of them might do for them. And I do stay pretty up on who's in what organization and, you know, ranking prospects, at least as far as like the top 10 or 15 go. So I feel like, yeah, I have a pretty good handle on what an organization is weak at. And so that's a part of it too. And then the other part of it is the GM at this organization a known guy? Like, do I know his patterns already? Now, we don't know Danny Briere's patterns, but I do think I know Brent Flair's patterns. So, because he's been around for a bunch of drafts now between Minnesota and the Flyers. So there are certain things that I have, you know, learned and look at that help me try and, you know, come to a conclusion. But now that this year that Briere is the final say, that could change, right? So there's a wrench in that. And there's some other organizations that have had some turnover and such. And so now you sometimes don't know how they're going to go. And then you have to decide if an organization is willing to take a home run swing, or is this organization really going to try and just get the guys to the NHL and want like as much of a guaranteed pick as they can get in the first round. So those are the challenges.
That's where I think the challenge is for us, right, with the Flyers, this whole Danny Briere being new, with Brent Flair being more of an established presence. And we know what his patterns are, right? Because we've seen it. All these years, but what will the Danny Briere effect be on those decisions? And it's really hard to tell. And so we're just trying to read those tea leaves there and make the best choice possible that we think is the best player available that fits the mold that we think that they would do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, you know, again, I think we could always narrow it down to like three guys. and figure out the three that they're looking at. I feel like we do that on this show pretty well.
Yeah, at least for the seventh overall pick, because it's a top 10, and you know what other teams will do above them is going to be more predictable. At 22, it's more wide open because anything could happen at that point.
Yeah, and things may have happened beforehand, and a guy may drop 15 spots like Angelo Esposito did that one year. So, yes, those kinds of things, when they happen, then that does really change things.
Yeah, I think about, you know, last year with Shane Wright dropping to four. I mean, I don't think many people would have guessed that at all. And that just threw everybody's mock draft off.
No, but I mean, like, that's where I'll give Shane Wright credit. He mentioned it on the broadcast. I had heard the rumblings, right? But I was hard-headed and didn't want to believe it. So I went with still what I thought was going to happen. Mm. And guess what? The rumblings were right. And so that's sometimes where, you know, you have to read that too and see. It's not always based on what you believe. And so that's what makes the draft really hard to predict, are things like that.
Agreed. All right. Well, we're going to put you on the spot, Russ, a little bit, and talk about your initial mock draft that you did and see if you would make any changes since then, and where you put the Flyers at seven. And then we can dig into the 22nd pick overall as well. We're going to do that coming up next. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. My favorite part of the Game Time app is it's great for the notifications with last-minute deals and their flash deals. Plus, you can get the view from your seat, which to me is really key. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less elsewhere, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Also, the tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create that account, redeem with the code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download the app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, Russ. So you mentioned your mock draft that you did on Full Press Hockey, which is like your first version of it. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so that you can follow along with the discussion here. For the seventh overall pick on yesterday's show, we did a pretty good deep dive on Ryan Leonard versus Oliver Moore. On, you know, if both were available, who would we pick there? And we covered Zach Benson on May 30th on that show. So go back and listen if you hadn't. You know, looking at those three, there's a lot of like, is it going to be Leonard versus Moore? Is it going to be Leonard versus Benson? Is it going to be Moore versus Benson? Those kind of choices seem to be heavily predicted at this point. But in your mock draft, Moore was gone by the seventh pick. So you think Arizona is going to take him? Or do you still think Arizona is going to take him?
Well, I mean, I hear other things. And what I think Arizona might be doing, and this is something that I'm going to find out when I'm at the combine, maybe they're really emphasizing and focusing on that entire line and trying to see how they all tick. That would make sense to me, actually. Not to say you would draft Gabe Perreault at seven, but just to learn about the others, right?
So exactly.
So that could be what they're doing, is gathering intel. So I chose Moore for Arizona because I think they're going to lose Clayton Keller in the next year. I think he's going to get traded because he doesn't want to be there unless something really happens where they move to a place he wants to play, or, you know, so I think there's a chance of that. And because Moore can play center or wing, like we talked about, that would be good versatility to have in the lineup. But if you lose Keller, you'd be replacing him with Moore with similar speed. So, like, you know, that's, you know, you want to keep speed in your pipeline. So I felt like all those things checked out. So then it became a Benson versus Leonard discussion. And even though I know people are saying, listen, Danny Briere is a smaller guy, maybe he'll bat for Zach Benson, he hasn't spoken that way. And he hasn't defended any of the smaller players that I've seen or heard or anything. Matter of fact, he has sort of gone along with the, we want the tougher, you know, scoring type players with speed in this draft, right? So he hasn't shown me that he has an ability to go for a little bit of a smaller guy like a Benson, who's clearly a better offensive player than Leonard, but he's different too. Leonard does have, you know, strength. Maybe he's 6 foot now. Maybe that makes him feel better. You know, I had a discussion with Rachel Dory on Off the Post, and she was like, if that make 2 inches makes you feel better, great. And she has a point.
That is a quote.
Yeah. But, you know, you think about it, like, in height, we should say in height. But you know what I mean? It's like, I get what she's saying. I do. But again, the Flyers did focus on the fact that last year's draft had all the players were like 6 foot or over. 6 to 6 foot 2, I think, was the average, something like that. And so it's like, based on all of that, I have Leonard picked because he gets to the net, he's fast, he's strong, he plays defense, he plays that kind of way that they're talking about. So unless they're going to make a big left-hand turn, right now I'm falling for it.
That makes a lot of sense. Again, you know, if any of those three are available, I'm pretty happy with it. But
oh yeah, there's no reason to not be happy with Leonard. Like, there's no.
Right. And it's just a matter of who's available at that point in the draft and, again, what the Flyers are thinking. Now, for the 22nd overall pick, again, that's more wide open at this point. But in your mock draft, do you have the Flyers making the same pick as you had Columbus making there?
No. That would change things now. I had Columbus taking Samuel Hanzik, who's a big guy who could score. He's another guy that can get to the net, but he's more of a one-trick pony. He's not really a great all-around player, like defensively and such. Should be a really decent player. He should be. But I don't think they'd take him. So I think now that would change things. So, you know, just kind of like doing this on the fly, I probably would insert a defenseman instead. And that's where I probably would put Tom Werlander in there. Even though I have him ranked 39th, we know the Flyers don't have a chance to draft him there. So if they like him, they're going to just take him. And that's fine. I mean, again, there's, you know, there's a strategy to be played, like, hey, you know, maybe Russ is on to something and Willander goes middle of the second round. Well, guess what? We don't have a middle of the second round pick or any at all. So we have to decide, is he worth it to take here right now? Is this what we're looking for in a player? And I think he would answer those check boxes because he'll get to the NHL. I think he'll play in the top four. My question just is he going to have a lot of offense or is it just kind of like, you know, a little bit of offense? But everything else is there. So I think they're going to look at that and say, yeah, let's go with Willander here because we need to hit on both these picks.
Yeah, I think we absolutely do. That is really interesting about switching up the strategy in terms of even if it's somebody you would normally take in the second round, because that's the pick you have, you take the guy you want.
Right. I mean, you just don't have that ability.
Right. So even if that turns somebody who's ostensibly a second rounder into a first rounder, sometimes that happens.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to Bruins fans that were really upset because they took Trent Frederick at the bottom of the first round. Well, that's where they had to take him. Guess what? He's in the NHL. He's pretty bruising.
He's doing all right.
Yeah. He's doing okay. Like, we all knew he'd be a fourth liner. But it's okay when you're at the bottom of the first round to take a fourth liner if he's going to play in the NHL and possibly play 150, 200 games. So, you know, sometimes you do make that decision that way.
All right. Well, we'll see what your next mock draft looks like with any of the changes.
I'll have to listen in. It won't be online.
Yeah. We will talk about that when it comes to fruition. We're going to be talking about the Locked On NHL mock draft when that comes out. In 2 weeks. and getting exciting. We're getting closer and closer to the draft, and we're getting closer and closer to that milestone mark on YouTube where we're going to have a giveaway. Pretty sure we're going to announce that giveaway on Monday's show based on how the numbers are trending. So if you aren't subscribed over on YouTube, do that now and get us to the 800 mark or even the 900 mark. We'll have a giveaway at every 100 subs up until we hit 1,000. So look for that in future shows as well. On Monday's show, we will have a report from Russ from the Combine, get all the dirt that came to the surface there. Plus, we'll have our Nemesis of the Week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. So send us in your questions via Twitter or Instagram at Locked On Flyers. You can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com or comment over on YouTube. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's R-M-I-R-I-A-M.
I'm Russ. I'm at Sportsology, S-P-O-R-T-S-O-L-O-G-Y.
Have a great weekend, everyone.